BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion, the straight truth come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Let's get to the show. This is Sledgehammer Show number 423. Children will be their leaders. Very interesting picture there. It says those that don't study the past. On the left-hand side there, you see the Holocaust. And on the right-hand side, you see Israel demonstrating with the gay flag and all this nasty stuff like that. We go from the Holocaust to this in 75 years. How quickly we forget how angry we made God. The people in Israel, I mean, the Jewish people around the globe and everybody else needs to wake up to what is going on in the world, because we're going to look at the Bible tonight in light of some news stories, and we're going to show that God is sovereign, that Jehovah Elohim is sovereign, and He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that happens in the middle, and you need to understand the times that we're living in, because it's going to we're going to look at some end time prophecy tonight through scripture and the news, and get ready to really be amazed with what's going on. Let me introduce myself to everybody. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people, following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. Okay, come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina on Shabbat. That's Saturday. And you don't have to be Jewish to be with us. You just have to be somebody who's seeking the truth. We're Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, tall and short, fat and skinny, all worshiping the Lord together as one people. Okay, and if you'd like to send the Sledgehammer Show an email, whether you love us or hate us, send it to info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. And there you see, for the Sledgehammer Show, we stream on Rumble, Facebook, and YeshuaTube. We don't put this on YouTube because, especially with tonight's topic, YouTube would throw us off in a heartbeat. So we put our Bible study and our Shabbat service on YouTube, but we don't put the Sledgehammer Show. Okay, so if you want to subscribe to our YouTube page, that's youtube.com/BGMCTV. Rumble.com/BGMCTV. Okay, you can sign up for our Telegram page. Okay, our Brighteon page. There's so many places we put our videos because we want to spread the word far and wide. And if you'd like to support the show, send a check or a money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Come and be with us on the Shabbat. We stay there all day for worship, the news, and the Word of God. And then, since it's still the Shabbat, after we take a little break for lunch, We come back for afternoon classes. Okay? Now let's get down to looking at the news, but first we look at the scriptures first. Because you really can't understand what's going on in the world. And there was one news story that really got me going for this show. Sorry, it's, I got a thing in my eye there. Okay? And we really need to look at this because we're going to prove that this scripture is true. Once we discuss it a little bit, we're going to prove that this scripture is true and that we need to look at how these scriptures, the Bible, affects everybody throughout the globe. Okay, we're going to need to...
Shalom, Rav.
Shalom. Okay, we need to know how the word affects not only Israel, but it affects...
Can't hear you.
The world. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 and 5.
Can't hear you.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Okay. So, let's look at that. Okay, let's look at that. It says, and I will make boys their princes, meaning leaders, and infants shall rule over them. And the people will oppress one another, everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent toward the elder, and the despised to the honorable. So let's first look at verse number 4. Because that's the impetus to tonight's sledgehammer, this sledgehammer show. And I'll make boys their princes, leaders and infants shall rule them. Okay, we're going to be looking at some incredible stories that prove that we are in the end of days and that this scripture is coming true in our days. It is coming true in our days. How it's an amazing thing. And then, you know, we look at verse 5, and the people will oppress one another, everyone his fellow and every one his neighbor. The youth will be insolent towards the elder. So what is insolent? They're going to be rude, uncivil, and disrespectful. Okay? So we're going to be looking at some news stories that proves that this is happening. This is the end of days. Okay? We're heading for some horrible times because when we have this, it's going to be a horrible time. When children are in charge... Children don't know anything. Children are idiots, okay? Especially, you know, when they're young, they're cute, you know, when they're little kids. But when a three-year-old is in charge, or a five-year-old is in charge, or a seven-year-old is in charge, any adult who allows that is just a moron, okay? And we're going to look how this is actually happening. That adults are afraid of the three-year-old, the five-year-old, the seven-year-old, the 11-year-olds. Okay? You know, when an 11-year-old is spouting their opinion, okay, you tell them your opinion means absolutely nothing. You have no game. You have no experience. You don't know how the world works. So sit down and shut up and learn something. But when the world is, an 11-year-old is saying something, we gotta listen. Okay, so this is where we start off, and let's look at another scripture. Ecclesiastes, Colet 10:16. Woe to you, land, when your king is a child, and your leaders start their parties in the morning. Okay, so, you know, Solomon was saying that When your king is a child, woe to the land. So when we got these children that are in charge and they're ruling the land, we need to fully comprehend what is going on. Now, this is a lot to look at, Ben. Okay. This is so what do you think of, you know, let me bring up the other one. I mean, because the Isaiah scripture is amazing. And I'll make boys their princes, meaning their leaders, and infants shall rule over them. I mean, how could anybody allow, you know, a five-year-old to rule their house? How could anybody let a five-year-old, you know, do these things? What do you think about this prophecy? Is it coming true in our lives, Mr. Benjamin?
Shalom, Rav. Yes, I do agree that this is coming true. I mean, we've seen it with elected leaders such as Macron. We've seen it with what's his name from Canada?
Trudeau. Junior Castro.
Right, Castro Jr., for those who didn't know. And we also see it like in Orlando, they elected a representative here. He's like 24 years old, 23 years old, something like that. And these ideologies that these young people have are nothing more than socialistic and Marxist ideals. They want to introduce socialism because they think that socialism works. We know from experience that it doesn't. Those of us who grew up in the era that you and I did, Brad, we witnessed the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. We've witnessed the
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Me and Bonzo are coming.
Famous words of one of our best presidents, Ronald Reagan. But we see that when these young, I'm calling them young people, because that's what they are. They're very young. They're inexperienced. They're what we would refer to as wet behind the ears. They really haven't lived enough to know what really works and what doesn't. Their ideas and their ideology looks good on paper. But when you put it into practice, it's a recipe for disaster. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen when we're allowing our five-year-olds and our three-year-olds to decide what gender they want to be. You know, it's opening a door for destruction, and people don't understand this. You know, little children, they want to be like you at one time wanted to be a fire truck.
Yes, I did. I didn't want to be the fireman. I loved the show Emergency 51, you know, and they would get the call in the firehouse, and you know, the squad 51, KMD 365, and then they'd leave the house, and they'd woo, and then be I wanted to do that. I wanted to be that going down the street.
So that just goes to show us that, you know, there's such an imagination, and we're allowing it to be destroyed because, you know, and I strongly believe that the feelings and the decisions that these people are making are caused by, you know, the needle with some juice in it, you know, saying that it's going to protect you from this mishap or that mishap or the other. You know, you have to be careful what you say nowadays, because the algorithms pick it up and
We're not on YouTube for this show. We're everywhere else.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But you know, there was a report. I don't know if I had mentioned this before, but I had read a report when I was working in Jersey, doing security for Merck and for Agfa. There was a report in Scientific American that vaccines contain mercury, and mercury had an effect on the storks, on the cranes. And there was a bunch of male cranes who had mercury poisoning to an extent where they would still survive, but they nested in trees with other male storks because they felt feminine. And I believe that because when we were kids, we had what? I think it was the max was 9 to 11 vaccines by the time you were 18. I think it's like over 60 vaccines before you're 18. If I'm not mistaken, it might be more, might be a little less, but it's a ridiculous number. And they get vaccinated for HPV, they get vaccinated for PBS, they get vaccinated for all these other, you know, three-letter diseases. And I believe that is what's affecting our children and those who have received that amount of vaccinations.
The key here, though, is that the adults are letting the children run the insane asylum. You know, we all saw the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, okay? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, okay? So you don't allow the nuts to run the insane asylum, okay? So that's what we're talking about here. And, you know, the scripture is very clear. Jehovah said, in the end, I will make boys their princes, their leaders. Infants shall rule over them. So what is going on, and let's look at the next one. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Jehovah says, train a child in the way he should go, and even when old, he will not swerve from it. Okay, so we add that to the children being in charge, infants being in charge. When you have a king as a child, the land mourns. It says, woe to the land. Okay, so when we have children in charge because they're not being trained, okay, there's another part where what has happened to the family unit, because we don't want to follow the word of God. We don't want to follow Torah. Anytime for the last 25 years I've talked to people about following Torah, oh, we're not under the law, we're not, you know, it's a bad thing. And it's, well, this is what you get, okay? Because, you know, there are so many people in our generation, in the 60s began the descent of the family. Divorce was prevalent, okay? You know, blended families. You know, you had the Brady Bunch. You know, three boys, three girls, okay? And if that was happening today, you know, the so-called siblings would be sleeping with each other because that's what you had. They'd be on, you know, some talk show. They made it natural. Oh, it's a good family. And then you had the Partridge Family, okay? The Partridge Family, the husband was missing. And then you got Mr. Kincaid, okay? Then you had the Family Affair, okay? And all these shows that promoted the broken family, okay? Now you come to this part here where you can train the child in the way they should go, because that parent, that mother, that father, they don't have any parenting skills. They have zero parenting skills. And then we'll bring up this last part before getting to the news stories to prove this. Romans 1, verse 22 to 24. Romans 1, verse 22 to 24. Claiming to be wise, they have become fools. In fact, they have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for mere images, like a mortal human being, or like birds, animals, or reptiles. This is why God has given them up to the vileness of their hearts, lusts, to the shameful misuse of each other's bodies. Okay, so speak to that, Ben, where you have this horrible, you know, the children are not being trained. Well, they're being trained to be lovers of self. They're being trained, you know, also after we were kids, my wife and myself were talking, and when I was a kid, I played, you know, much sports, and I remember being on baseball teams, and the team I was on won zero games. Okay, we were perfect losers. Okay, and then I've been on teams that were perfect winners, but when we were perfect losers, we didn't get participation trophies. Okay, so now everybody gets a participation trophy. No, you get a trophy when you win because you're the winner. Okay, you want to work harder to win. Okay, so but when we're training our children, please give me a trophy. You know what you got for participating? A hat and a shirt. So speak to this about, you know, children in charge, training a child. What's your sense before we get to the news stories to prove where we are on the timeline?
Well, that right there, the participation awards, the pizza parties for the losing team, when we grew up, we were brought up with a competitive spirit, but we were ingrained with the knowledge that it doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. And the loser had to be a good sport and shake the hands of the winners. And the motivation to win was the fact that if you won, you got your trophy and you got your pizza party, your pizza and ice cream party.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't show that. We don't show the kids that nowadays. And let me tell you something. I experience a lot of adults who suffer from anxiety and stress. And, I have to take a mental day here, you know, because I'm not right. This is too tough for me. Where did that come from? That comes from this. You know, that's exactly what Proverbs 22:6 is talking about. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when old, he will not swerve from you. So if you train up a child in Torah doesn't give you an award for just participating. You know what I'm saying? You have to do a little bit more than just participate, because the walk in righteousness is a bumpy road. It's not a straight and smooth road like a lot of these prosperity, you know, doctrine preachers and teachers teach. You know, what does Kepha say? That we are to suffer in this road of righteousness. Nobody's going to accept us. If they didn't accept Yeshua, who are we to think they're going to accept us? Didn't Yeshua say that, you know, you will be hated by the world for my sake, you know, and we fail to remember that, and we fail to bring up our children knowing that, and knowing the fact that we are going to suffer should give us the motivation to walk a little closer to him. You know, train the child in the way he should go. If you train a child and tell him, look, this is wrong and this is right, this is what you do and this is what you don't do because you don't want nobody doing this to you. We've forgotten about the golden rule, the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, I had a Christian tell me, isn't that one of the only two commandments? I said, no. What Yeshua said there is in the Old Testament. It's not a New Testament law. You know, go back to Numbers. Go back to Leviticus. Everything that's there, we find Yeshua talking about. But nobody wants to do that because nobody wants to be like you say, legalistic, you know? But if we don't teach our children this, then we're just setting up our children for failure in the future. And then we've failed as a generation to lead the next generation in the path that they should walk.
Okay. So we start with that to bring you this headline. Remember we talked about children being the charge, Isaiah 3. In the United Kingdom, in England, a female teacher has been fired and forced to apologize after saying good afternoon girls to students. A teacher in the UK was pressured by students to apologize after she misgendered them, according to Fox News. The students, 11-year-olds at the expensive private school in the UK managed by the prestigious Girls' Day School Trust, were reportedly displeased after the teacher addressed them with a good afternoon, girls, at the beginning of the lesson. Some of the students told the teacher that not everyone here identifies as females, with others later writing their names and pronouns on the board for the teacher's edification. The teacher who spoke to the Daily Mail said that the experience was humiliating and embarrassing. Some students held a lunch protest and even made placards emblazoned with the slogan Trans Lives Matter. According to the teacher, before the end of the week, I was in some sort of a disciplinary process telling me I had to apologize. Let's go back to how old were these little brats? They were 11. So let me write it on the board, you misguided little brats. You know, your opinion means absolutely nothing. Okay? And this, any school that wants to cower to an 11-year-old, you know, because you misgendered him, some of us, I don't care what you identify it. You're a child. Your opinion matters nothing. Nada. Zippo. Zero, you stupid little child. Now go stand in the corner with a dunce hat on, okay? Or get the heck out of my class. You know, if you think you know everything, you know, can you name all the counties on the island of the UK? Can you name their capitals? Can you do a budget? Okay, an 11-year-old, look at this. A female teacher has been fired and forced to apologize. First of all, never ever apologize if you're right. Okay? Good afternoon, girls. Some of us don't identify as girls. You know? You don't identify? You're an 11-year-old. Can you tell me the elements on the periodic table? Can you tell me how many world wars we had? Do you know how a bomb is made? Do you know how to cook dinner besides microwaving it? Do you know how to quarter a cow? You know, I mean, this is, Ben, this is absolutely insane. Let me bring up the other part of the story. Not everyone here identifies as female. And they wrote their pronouns on the board, okay? This is absolutely but we're allowing it. That's the key. The school is allowing it. The teacher is allowing it. The brain dead parents are allowing it. Let's go to another story. Why I had the Israeli picture up earlier. Why Jewish communities welcome 7-year-old transgender kids. As society grows more accepting of trans community, doctors seek to save teens' lives by helping them transition at increasingly early ages. First grader Eli loves to dress up as Queen Esther for Purim. A real girly girl with shoulder-length brown hair and mischievous smile. When her sisters, 9 years old and 5 years old, aren't looking, she may borrow their accessories. Pretty typical stuff for a 7-year-old California girl, except Eli is a boy. For us in the beginning, when 2 years ago, that's at 5 years old, he said, "I want to wear girls' clothes." We thought it was a phase, even hoped it was a phase. At the time, Eli was in preschool at a Bay Area Jewish community center near the family home. When Eli persisted in wanting to dress as a girl, however, Jody and her husband consulted with the JCC, the Jewish Community Center director, at Eli and Eli's teachers. They were told to roll with her requests. Otherwise, they may squash her identity, which is not good for her sense of self. It is a critical time in Eli's development, they were told, and it's best to support her in being who she is. Are you stupid? The boy has two sisters, okay? He just wants to be like them for now, okay? But allowing the child to go on with this charade, okay, is absolutely stupid, okay? You know, you need a license to go hunting or fishing, but you don't need a license to have children, okay? Some people should not have children because they're too stupid to be parents, okay? This started when he was 5. Yeah? And if he wants to wear a dress, you say, no, boys don't wear dresses unless they're wearing a kilt in Ireland. And then if you're in Ireland, you can wear a kilt. Okay? Okay, laddie? Then you can wear a kilt. But you're not going to be wearing no dress like a woman. Okay? So, you know, they're told to squash his identity. Yeah. Train the child up in the way that he should go. Okay? No, boys don't do that. Okay? You know, you're not going to be Queen Esther. Okay? Train the child up in the way. So you're celebrating Purim, but you're thinking God made a mistake when he made him a boy? Okay? Don't do anything, you know, pertaining to the word of God then. You fools. Okay? You know, going along, you're gonna squash his development. Yeah, that's the whole idea. Okay? We don't go along with the 5-year-old or the 7-year-old when they want to be these stupid. Okay? Let them play with the stove. Okay? Let them play with matches. Let them play with a gun. Okay? No, you don't let them do any of that, you banana head. Ben, help me here, man. Help me. Help me. We would have beat the dickens out of this kid in school.
Well, you know, that's the problem. You know, we seem to want to appease not just, I don't think it's the fact that you're appeasing the children. You're afraid of what society's going to say about you if you don't try to correct the child at this stage in his life. Because the conversation that we're having right now is deemed, you know, hateful speech because we don't agree with what mainstream society goes along with. This is an actual mirror image of when Lot was visited by the two messengers. You know, this is an actual image because everything that they're pushing on these children is coming from the adults. If you let children be children, this wouldn't happen. But because we want to fit in with the culture at hand and you know, stay out of, you know, the radar, you know, stay away from the radar of society coming at you because you don't agree with this. Whatever happened to, if I don't like something, I can walk away from it. Nowadays, if you walk away from this or try to take that kid out of that school, then, you know, right away, I don't know what department they have in England, but here in the States, we have, you know, DCS, we have ACS, and we have, what is it?
CPS. CPS.
CPS, you know? And these people get involved in this type of scenario. But years ago, whatever happened to them getting involved when the children were being tied up to chairs and being beaten by their parents, you know, they stay silent at that, you know, because that's not fitting for their agenda. You know, the emasculation of masculinity and the promotion of femininity in men. That's why a lot of the foods that we're fed are high estrogen content foods, you know, like soy. Soy, for instance, is high in estrogen. Men shouldn't be eating soy because it's been proven scientifically that it creates breasts in men. You know, because of the high estrogen content, it overtakes the testosterone that is found within our makeup. But this is just an outright result of walking away and from Torah and turning our backs on God. You know, where Paul said it in, what was it, in Romans? Because what was that scripture that you had? Where Paul, the Proverbs scripture, underneath it was Romans. It said because they didn't want to believe the truth, God gave them over to the lies that they should believe, you know? And it says in Romans 1:24 that this is why God has given them up to the vileness of their hearts, the vileness of the lust and their wicked desires, because you don't want to honor God with the body that he made you with. So he's going to let you do what you want to do so you can disgrace yourself, because you're not disgracing God. God will never be disgraced.
Yeah, it's really something amazing that's going on. And let's look at another story, because, you know, this is what this show does. And And we don't apologize for anything, okay? We're standing with the Word of God, and if you don't like it, turn us off, okay? You want to come at us? Just be ready for a fight. This Jew does not stand down, okay? Another story out of Washington State. Parental nightmare. State will hide kids from parents who don't approve of gender. Okay, now remember, Washington State has a phagala as a governor. Okay, he really wasn't voted in, but you know that's in. We've done stories on that. In the dark of night, on the last day of legislative session in Washington State, Senate Democrat passed Senate Bill 5599, a breaking evisceration of parental rights. The bill allows the state to legally hide runaway children from their parents if the parents don't consent to their child's gender transition or abortion. No allegation of abuse in the household is required. This bill also applies to children from other states who may travel thousands of miles for such procedures not available in them at home, cementing Washington as a sanctuary state for runaway teens. And if that wasn't enough, the bill allocates up to $7.5 million of Washington taxpayer money to the Office of Homeless Youth Prevention and Protection to provide grants to organizations to pay for gender transition and abortion procedures. Okay, so we have here in this story, we have now this state getting rid of parent rights. Getting rid of parent rights. Okay? If a child runs away, okay? You know, because mommy or daddy won't let me cut off my testicles and mommy won't let me cut off my breasts. It's like, because you're a child, you nimwit. But here we have this phagala in Washington State, you know, and then you got all the Democrats, you know, passing this bill to kidnap these children. Okay, so in Washington State, if you start preaching Torah and you start following Torah, we have the Bible that tells us what we should do to people who kidnap our children. Because a child doesn't know. And children are very emotional. Okay? There are a lot of adults who are emotional, but they're adults. Okay? They're past 18. They can go to war for the country. They can die for the country. So they get to make their own choices. But children don't get to make their own choices. In the scriptures, you're not an adult until you're 20. Okay? I know that confuses people with modern Israel, because after high school they go into the army. Okay? That's not the way God set it up, because God knows that, you know, when you're 18, you're still very emotional, and you're still emotional at 20, but you got a little bit more going on. You get a little bit more life's experience. There's more brain power going on. But here in this story, we got, you know, come to Washington State so you can mutilate yourself. And there's story after story after story that, you know, regrets. But what we're talking about here is the Isaiah 3 scripture. Children are in charge. God doesn't want the children in charge. So, Ben, what they're doing is they're enticing the children to come. They're offering, you know, you want to come, you really want to, if you're a boy, you really want to be a girl, and if you're a girl, you want to be a boy, and we'll help you do that because your parents don't understand. They're working on the kid's emotions, but God is allowing it. But he said in the end of days, children will be in charge. So now we have these adults saying, yes, you're in charge. You want to cut off your testicles? Go ahead. You want to cut off your breasts? Go ahead. You want to take out your ovaries and your uterus? Go ahead, because you are in charge. Isn't this sick, Ben?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's a shame because, you know, we're taking advantage of the fact that, you know, these children are really naive. They're naive to the consequences of you know, their decisions and their actions. You know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I was looking at, I was listening to statistics on suicide rates, that the highest suicide rates is among the homosexual and transgender community. Mm-hmm. Because once they mutilate themselves, it's hard to go back, you know.
Yeah, once you cut your penis off, there's no putting it back.
I mean, you know, technology might say different, but it's just there's just a disconnect when you do that. There's a spiritual and a psychological and emotional disconnect when you try to become something that you're not, and that's been proven even in the mainstream in the I guess we would call it the straight community. You know, when you try to be something that you're not, it creates a certain kind of stress.
Well, let's use proper terminology. The God-believing community and the godless community.
Right. Okay. Well, okay, we'll use those terms. But in any of those two communities, when a human being tries to be something that he's not, there is a certain kind of stress, a stress hormone that's released, and it affects the mental capacity of that person. And that person, you know, once you're damaged goods, it's so hard to get back to your original state. And this is what the enemy of our souls is banking on, because once your mental capacity is gone, you know, you're under demonic possession. You know, let's say when Judas Iscariot, when he sold Yeshua for the 30 pieces of silver, and he tried to give the money back, there was no undoing what he did, and that led him to hang himself. And I strongly believe that the fact that he regretted, because I can't say that he repented, but I bet he regretted what he did. And since he realized that there was no taking it back and there was no changing it ever again, he just went and hung himself. He bought the potter's field and he hung himself from a tree. And this is the same effect that being something that you're not has on the human being.
Yeah, it really is. But let's look even further into children being in charge, because that's the title of this episode of the Sledgehammer Show. And if you like it, hit the thumbs up, subscribe to our pages, subscribe to our YouTube page, subscribe to Rumble page. And like I said, we put it everywhere, okay? Except this show will not be on YouTube because, you know, they don't like truth, okay? They don't like God's truth. So God said in Isaiah 3 that we started this show off with about children being in charge. Look at this story, how families can navigate rising gender non-conforming children. This was in Psychology Today. My son finished kindergarten just a couple of weeks ago. That's 5 years old in kindergarten. Over a year ago, he began wearing dresses. What began as a preference, he would change from typical boy clothes, to dress whenever he had the opportunity. Gradually, he became the way he wanted to dress always. If given a choice, he would choose to wear a dress every day. Okay, all right, so let me bring that back up. All right, so the mother is giving into this five-year-old little kid. Okay, are you from a broken home? Where's dad? What does dad say about this? Okay, and you know, if dad is letting his son do this, dad needs to stop drinking the soy latte. Okay, he needs to man up. He needs to get some testosterone boost, okay, and start acting like a man and protecting his family. Look at this. Your four-year-old son tells you that he wants to wear dresses to preschool. Should you let him? What's so bad about a boy who wants to wear dresses? Everything. Many parents have had their sons paint their fingernails, pick out pink shirts, and ask for My Little Ponies for Christmas. When this happens, many parents act calm and pretend not to worry that something deeper is brewing beneath the surface. But don't be fooled. Having a son want to act feminine pushes many parents' buttons. It prompts us to question our son's sexuality and our own sexuality, our parenting skills, and our social and political views. Yeah, it does, because you're going against God's ordained ways. Don't let your son wear a dress. Don't let your son paint his fingernails. Okay? You know, don't let him do it. Teach him to be a boy. Okay, let's see. But this is 4-year-old telling the parents what he wants. B?
I see the questions that they're asking here. Question has to do with the son's sexuality, their own sexuality, their parenting skills, and their social and political views. But there is no mention whatsoever about their spirituality. There is no mention whatsoever about their belief in God. And this is the result of taking God out of society and out of the family that this is happening. Because once again, God gave them up to the vile practices of their hearts, because they refuse to accept God's teachings, God's rulings, God's commandments. They refuse to accept God's word. So this is the exact result. When you were reading this, I was reading it along with you, and I saw nothing here that had to do with teaching the kid the Bible, teaching the kid the righteousness, right from wrong. This here is the recipe to destruction.
Well, what it also is the Isaiah scripture, where it's the children are in charge instead of the parents being in charge. Okay, that's the premise of this show, is that the child is the 4-year-old, you know, is telling them he wants to wear dresses. So the parent should say, no, dresses are for girls. Okay, that's for your sister. That's for me, your mother. But with the broken families, okay, when mommy's the only one in the house and dad is with another girl or whatever happened to dad, the son just wants mom's love. And he doesn't have a male role model, okay? We need the male role model. Now look at this. 3-year-old boy wants to be a girl and wear dresses. Please help with my request. I have the sweetest, most wonderful baby boy who tells me he wants to be a girl. Every time I wear a dress or skirt, he asks me if he can wear it. Whenever we are in a clothing store, he asked me to buy him a dress. It's getting worse the older he's getting. I know it is coming from all the girls at daycare when they dress up like princesses. At first, since he was three, since he wasn't even three yet, I didn't worry about it. I let him wear my pink silk bathrobe around the house. Can call himself a princess. My daycare provider suggested I stop letting him wear dresses and tell him that boys don't wear dresses because he's three now and it's time to break that habit. I don't want to mess him up if he feels female. Yes, you do. Train up a child in the way that he should go. She's not saying that there's a man in the family. Okay, the kid loves mom. Okay, yes, we all love our mothers. Well, sort of. Okay. But what is going on is you're supposed to be the parent. You're supposed to teach the child the way that they should go. Okay, this is abhorrent. This is a mental disorder. Okay, the three-year-old, no, you know, he wants to be like mom. I want to wear a robe just like mom because he loves mommy. And mommy helps him in the bed. Mommy helps him all do the stuff. He's three. Where is dad? Were you just sleeping around? Did you get divorced? Did you, you know, you have a one-night stand and now you got an 18-year problem? Okay. Were you not following God's word? Where is God in this? Okay. Don't let the children, but what we're talking about is the three-year-old is in charge. The three-year-old is in charge. What do you say to this one, B? We got the five-year-old, the four-year-old, the three-year-old. I mean, there are hundreds of stories.
This is where parenting is supposed to take over. Children are going to want to do what they want to do, but you can't let them. You know, it's just like you can't let a child touch a pot with scalding water, because what's going to happen? He's going to get burned. He's going to get burned, and then you're going to go to jail because it's negligence. You know, this should be deemed as negligence as well. And I still say that the jab that they give these kids, all those jabs that they give these kids from birth, is affecting their rational state of mind. You know, if we could say that they have, you know, ration at that age. Because when I was 3 years old, I had my Geronimo, I had my G.I. Joe. You know, yeah, I played with dolls, but they were male dolls. They were male figures.
G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
With the Kung Fu grip, yeah. you know, I had my Tonka trucks. I had, you know, my BB guns and I did boy things, because that's what we do. We teach the boys that they have to be the providers, and the girls that they have to be, you know, the women who rear up the children, who help govern the house, you know, and take care of the house while the man is out there making the living and bringing home the proverbial bacon. It's supposed to be a team effort, but because the family structure has been destroyed, it's easier for the enemy to infiltrate and create chaos, because there's no spiritual guidance. It all comes down to that spiritual guidance, to the fact that the Bible, the Word of God, is supposed to direct our lives. And since we don't have that anymore, we're down the creek without a paddle. We can't steer the boat anymore. It's going wherever the water's taking us. And the only way to divert all that is to come back to the foundation, which is God. God, family, country. You know, is it God, country, family? It's God first, no matter what. But we don't do that anymore. This is why we're in the position that we're in.
Well, it's God, family, and country, because you first need God, then you need a family before you can have a country. Okay? But children are in charge. And we're letting the insane run the insane asylum. because you don't want God in your lives. And we need to get back. And we're not downgrading women. Read Proverbs 31. She can do many things. She can own a business. She can do many things. It's a team effort. God gave us the roles that he wanted us to do. But Chava, Eve, was taken from Adam's side to be a helpmate. But Adam was in charge, okay? And it's the way that things are supposed to work. Children are not to be in charge, okay? But in the end of days, God told Isaiah to write to us to let us know that when children are in charge, all hell is going to break loose, okay? You don't have these problems in Russia and China, okay, which will be taking over the world shortly, because when they come to battle us, you know, you're not going to be able to plug in your phone and know what to do. You're not going to know what to do. But the spiritual aspect of all this, as we close our show, is we've kicked God out. So God is letting the stupidest among us train a child. Why does he say that? Because they need training. You're supposed to train them how to be a good person, okay? How to take care of things. And children need to do this. They need to be taught. But parents, if you can't rip yourself from your stupid phones, if you can't stay married, we're falling apart because we don't know how to read. We don't know how to follow God. And the saddest part is the pulpit is one of the biggest problems because they don't preach like this. I don't care if you don't want to come to Beth Gwayman. You go wherever you want to go. I don't care if you come at me because I'm going to come back at you twice as hard. I'm not here to play a game. I'm here to bring you truth, justice, and God's way. You've been listening to The Remnants Call the Sledgehammer Show. For Ben Jimenez, I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Gwayne Messianic Congregation. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom, this is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnants Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, BethGoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, BethGoyim.org. That's BethGoyim.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnants Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into his eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of his kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.